Thank you for joining me again today. If you're here in the United States, then I hope you are enjoying your Independence Day. This is the 4th of July, and given this big holiday this week, we've taken a week-long break from our series in the Gospel of Matthew and gone all the way back to the beginning of the Bible, the book of Genesis. Our topic is the pre-existence of God, and I hope this has been beneficial to you. Should you have any questions and or want to interact with me about what has been said, at the end of the program, you will be given my email and mailing addresses. Be prepared to jot those down and then get off your note to me today, tomorrow, or this weekend. I will respond. What we're going to do today is pull together our conversation about the pre-existence of God. I've said the very first reality we learn about God is that God exists and he exists before the beginning. I'm getting this from the opening of Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God. And I gave you three reasons why God, existing before the beginning, is so important. Here again are those reasons. The first reason, which I just mentioned, the pre-existence of God is important, is that God has no beginning. The second reason the pre-existence of God is important is that it demonstrates that you and I are not God. And the third reason the pre-existence of God is important is that, ironically, his pre-existence proves his existence. God's pre-existence proves his existence. Let's deal with this third reason now. What do I mean by this? Go back with me again to Genesis 1:1. Let's keep the biblical text always in front of us. In the beginning, God. And let's ask a question. How do we know in the beginning, God? Or if we read the next word, how do we know in the beginning, God created? If only God existed in the beginning, then how do we know about God and about this beginning? Remember, there is no other God, no other divine being, to tell us, and no person has yet been created. No human is there with God as a scribe to capture in writing the beginning. The answer is that the only possible way we can know this is if God tells us. And in order for God to tell us, God had to be there. And in order for God to be there, God had to be pre-existing. God had to be. No other God made him. And no person made him, he just is. So this means God's pre-existence comes into play as he proves his existence. Now you might be thinking, really, Mark? It's a holiday. I'm turning my brain off here. I'm not working today. And I'm heading into a weekend excited but absolutely exhausted. And this is what you want me to think about? I want to encourage you, just give me a little more brain power. Because this is important and foundational to our understanding of who God is. Let me read for you Genesis 1:1-5 now, and that will help me solidify this point in your mind. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and there was evening, and there was morning one day. That was Genesis 1:1-5. Okay, so now we have the first five things God created. Heavens, earth, water, darkness, and light. Now, most of you just take this for granted, but a careful reading of Genesis 1 should definitely cause us to pause and sincerely ask, how do we know God did this? We know because God tells us what he did. Later in the Bible, we meet a Hebrew man named Moses. You may know exactly who Moses was, or you may have some general idea, but we'll benefit from hearing about his relationship to God on this point. Here's what you need to know today. Moses wrote the book of Genesis, as well as other Old Testament books. But Moses wasn't there at the beginning. So how did he know what to write? Here's how. God told him. God told him. God spoke frequently to Moses and commanded Moses to write. Consider, for example, Exodus 17:14. Exodus follows Genesis. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Write this in a book." Moses was a well-educated man, having grown up in the school system of the Egyptian pharaoh. He would definitely have learned how to write. Listen to Exodus 24:4. Moses wrote down all the words of the Lord. In the life of Moses, there was a period of 40 years when God took him out into a wilderness place called Midian. And I believe it was during those years when God told Moses what happened in the beginning. God dictated to Moses how he created. Hence, Moses was able to write, "In the beginning God created." How do we know about God and about the beginning? The answer is that God tells us. And how did God tell us? He chose Moses to write it down for us. And what God said and what Moses wrote is what we're reading today. And again, I submit to you that in order for God to tell us, God had to be there. And in order for God to be there, God had to be pre-existing. God is. He just is. This is how I account for the existence of God. Now, let's be honest with one another. You and I know there was a start because we're here and we acknowledge that we are not the first humans to be here. You and I are not before the beginning of existence. We were not pre-existing. We were not there with God in Genesis 1:1. We all have a beginning. That's the reality of history. The world began before we existed. And then if you simply trace the people and places back down through the centuries and the ages, you eventually must come to a beginning. You must come to a start. But that is not a start that we were present for. We only come along later. Only God was there in the beginning. Okay, I think you've been able to follow my argument. I've said that God exists and that he is pre-existing. I've said there are at least three reasons why this is important. So let me stop now and ask, what are the implications for all of this? I only have time for one major implication. God defines God. We do not define God. We cannot say anything about God that God does not say of himself. The source for learning the nature and character of God is the Bible, because it is within the pages of the Bible that God defines God. God clearly and patiently, on page after page, reveals himself in all his glory. And so if we want to know who he is, and even if we do not want to know him, there he is. God comes through these pages and confronts each of us in the beauty and brilliance of his radiance. He unveils as much of himself as he decides we can handle without falling dead in his presence. And yet Christians must admit that this implication seems lost on the people of the world in which we live. There is an unmistakable effort, this is at times even persuasive, to define God for ourselves. I'm sure you have heard God defined as he, she, or even it, is, and then we get an opinion. I hear this all the time. When it comes to God, the pride of the human heart swells and puffs itself up into statements such as, "I think God is," and everyone fills in the blank with their own personal idea and opinion. And when the believer offers a response to any of this by turning to the Bible, then of course the response is, "The Bible doesn't really mean that," or "You're interpreting it wrong." This is God in our image, God like us, even God below us. So the person then becomes God. The human is the one worthy of worship, and God is, well, nothing more than whatever we happen to decide God is in any particular moment on any given day. Wow, what restraint, what patience, what mercy God must have with the people of the world today. Here is God. He has presented himself to us, all of us, in the pages of the Bible and in the created order all around us. And yet we have the audacity to think, the gumption to reject who he truly is and to steal his glory for ourselves and then to peddle our puny little and false ideas of quote-unquote God to others. If you were God, wouldn't you just destroy the world and everyone in it who was unwilling to accept you for who you are, especially after you had so thoroughly introduced yourself to them? Wouldn't you just give up on sinful people? But as we continually see in the life of Christ, here on God is, the Lord does exactly the opposite for now. Remarkably, he is convinced that we should be saved and rescued from such pride as God steps into a human body. He takes on human flesh and enters the world. In mercy, grace, and compassion, he comes to us and says, "I am he." John chapter 18, verse 6. "I am God." These are the words of Jesus the Christ. John 18:6, I am he. And on this Independence Day, I want to pray that you and the people you love will not be independent from God. I ask that you no longer shake your fist at him and keep on going your own way. I pray that as the Holy Spirit arrests your attention today and stops you dead in your tracks wherever you are, that you will repent of your sin, turn from evil, and return to God and be saved from your sin by him. I pray with all my heart that you will not be independent, but dependent on your Creator who loves you, but who will one day judge the earth and everyone in it who has ever lived. When you face the judgment of God for your life, I sincerely hope that you will have faith in Jesus Christ so that God will not see you as a sinner, but rather as perfect in the perfection of Christ who died for your sins. This will be your best Independence Day ever if on this day you will acknowledge your dependence on the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. O great God, have mercy on us. Have compassion on the people in New England, in California, in our towns and in our cities and across the world who have rejected you. Please continue to reveal yourself to them in such a way that they will accept you for who you are, that they will ask for and receive your forgiveness. And then please strengthen those of us who do accept you and who believe in you with all our hearts. Give us a heart of compassion for all people in our lives. We thank you for being with us this day and every day. Thank you for providing to us Jesus Christ to take away our sins. And thank you for hearing our prayers. Amen. The pre-existent and ever-existing God is good to us. And I hope this week together thus far has given you something to think seriously about. And again, if you ever want to talk with someone who can tell you more about what it means to have faith in Jesus Christ for the full and complete forgiveness of your sins, write to me, will you? That's why I'm here. I'd love to hear from you via email or letter. This holiday evening will be a great time to write it. And then join me again tomorrow, for God is.